everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. My name is James Welsh and I'm here.
Sorry, my name is Robert Welsh and I am here where I am, not where James is.
Yes, because we record this separately.
Due to rules.
Due to the current climate. We're known for our very good intros, I think.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Really getting everyone's interest.
Yeah, like draw them in the first 10 seconds.
Listen. Oh my God, what a week it's been.
Yes.
So, talking about news that isn't important, I just moved house.
Yes, you have.
I moved from a flat to a house. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people use stairs because I feel like I'm working out every time I need to.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, I think we lived in flats like the majority of our life, like living in London and you to Southampton. Mm-hmm. Then the moment, even when I moved back home, I first lived in a flat. And then like the moment you move to a house, you don't know where people are. And like, it's you like, just think anyone could be in this house right now and I wouldn't know.
Oh my God, that's exactly isn't how it I weird? Feel.
Yeah.
At night time, I'm like, okay, so I'm in this one room. But there are other rooms.
Separated by stairs.
How do I know someone isn't standing in the corner of a room downstairs?
And well, that's the thing. You don't. You don't know
houses,
that.
Houses are dangerous. But no, it's been lovely. It's been really nice to have different room.
There is such like a, there is a more like secure feeling though when you're in a block of apartments, isn't it? Like I remember when, first of all, we have your concierge. Yeah. And then I feel like you just don't see people. I remember me and Rob went away for a weekend and we left our flat door unlocked.
What?
The whole weekend. And we came back. Well, we had suitcases, I remember, like opening it and everything was still there because you just don't know when your neighbours are there or not. So like, and no one, I know, and no one can get in the building without
Did you realise when you were away or when you
Because we had this really awkward, it was a new build, but the doors were so awkward to lock. It was one of those things where you have to like pull up the handle, then twist it, and then you had to like jiggle it and make sure. But there's a real sense of security. Yeah, blow on the door five times. But there's a real sense of security. And then when you're in a house, it's like my door goes out onto the street.
It's directly on the public street.
Directly, it's there and the public can see it. It's weird.
Exactly.
Wow, what
very strange. Yeah. So we missed... So we missed last week's podcast. We didn't record last week. Obviously, because of everything that's going on in the world at the moment, which is, it's difficult to say it's all positive because it seems like so many people are doing positive things. And at the same time, it's a very negative thing that people are protesting and, you know... But yeah, we've been kind of using our time on social media, on our YouTube channels and Instagrams and Twitters and things
like
that.
The Twitters,
to post things that hopefully help ourselves and other people out understand the situation a little bit more and give them a little bit more insight into what they're thinking. My God, it's been exhausting trying to...
It actually has. I think the one thing, when you talk about human rights in general, but for some reason, especially when it comes to black people, and it is black people, I think a lot of people have been asking me, and I appreciate it, how I'm feeling as a person of colour, but this isn't about people of colour, and you and me we're white passing, basically. Exactly. I don't think we've ever had any bad experience, but this is about black people, and I think when you, as an influencer, speak so openly about things like this, a lot of people tell you it's not your place. They're like, don't get involved in politics. I just want to hear about, you know, skincare and makeup. But I think it's important. I think an influencer of any level should be talking about how they feel, especially when it comes to stuff like this, and sharing what they're learning and sharing what...
Exactly.
You know.
This is a thing as well. On, you know, YouTube, we have potentially, between us... access to millions of people. Why would we why would we not use that platform to help the situation as much as we can? I keep thinking this, and this sounds so selfish, but there's been times where I've gone to bed and I'm exhausted from arguing with people about basic human rights.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel tired. I feel emotionally exhausted. I feel like everyone is against my beliefs today. And then I sit there and think, well, this is every day for black people.
This is the thing. So
why can I can't sit here and for a week be like, oh, I'm so tired of this. Yeah. You know, like you can,
but this
we can
is the push thing
ourselves
as well.
Further and do more.
Yeah, this is the thing as well, is we, I think a lot of people as well, is like we took that week off, not because we were like, you know, in solidarity.
We better.
Yeah, but obviously in solidarity.
Solidarity. I know.
Yeah. of course that, but also we don't want to at this particular time be crowding. I don't know. I feel like it's important for people to use the time they would have listened to us to read these tweets, like listen to the videos that people are sharing. And,
right. And we can sit here and do an episode about it. I mean, as great of an idea that would be, but there are podcasts that are made by Black people that you should be listening to.
Yeah.
We don't want to, like you said, overcrowd that space. It wasn't the right week. There was more important stuff to do that week and more important stuff to read. And also, not just that week. When I say I'm referring to the week we didn't record all the time.
Yeah. You know? But also, like, on a personal, like, level, just, weren't you exhausted last week? Like you said, like, posting stuff about it and having to, like you said, argue with people.
Arguing.
To just try and try and get them to fathom, like, why is this a debate? Why are you arguing about this? Why is there a counter argument?
Why is it a personal attack that people want equal rights to you or just to be treated like you? Why is that?
Yeah.
I just can't get it through my head. And then people start using things as excuses. Oh, but the small businesses. Oh, but the thing. It's like, okay, yeah, sad, fine. But, you know, it wouldn't have come to this if this, you know, it's just, I just can't.
Shit has to happen if we want something to change. And that's like the truth. That's not being like, let's do it. That's like, that's just the truth. Yeah. That's what has to happen. But as you said as well, like last week I was exhausted. I was stressed. I went to bed not being able to put down my phone because I wanted to constantly see what's going on Twitter.
Keep going on with, yeah.
Can you, like you said, can you imagine this being your life, constantly having to explain why you have rights, why you have... Sorry, I laugh because it's ridiculous to me.
I can't fathom
any other thought than someone wanting to support what's going on at the moment. But I have to say, from an insider looking in, something does feel different this time. People seem so, so angry this time and up in airs. And not that they haven't been before, but I've been guilty of... Like, last time a Black person was innocently murdered, I reposted, I posted about it, and then, what, a week later, I was like, oh, I hope something's been done about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, rather than... So I think people are realising now, from an influencer point of view, that how we should be using our platform.
Exactly.
And how we can, not just now, not this just while it's well, like when, a, yeah, a thing, but how we can keep doing it, what's a trend, yeah.
It's when you said earlier that people are like, oh, you know, just stick to what you're doing, all this kind of stuff. If you don't like it, then leave. I've seen people have lost thousands of followers and subscribers, and it is so scary, and this is going to sound so ignorant, and I think I have been ignorant towards it. I'm, you know, there, a boy with a beard, you know, a bit Mexican, with darker skin, and wearing makeup, like putting on a full face of makeup and wearing, you know, jewelry, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I thought my followers would be open-minded and have the same mind frame as me. And then to see these comments I've been getting and people being disappointed in me because I'm sharing things has been a huge, huge disappointing eye-opener. It's been, it's scary to think these people that you had conversations with before, just about makeup and just about, oh, how great, you know, this is. Those people are extremely racist.
Racist, yeah.
And like people that, you know, we've known for a long time, to see them say dumb shit.
Yeah.
Is terrifying.
Yeah. I think the one thing that's getting to me as well at the moment is the people telling me that I'm from the UK, I shouldn't be talking about this. Like, it's purely an American issue. And yes, like, police brutality is shown in the media more in the America. Like, it's like something that purely stems from the US. But it's not true. It's not true. Like, it's a huge issue here in the UK. And I think, you know, this has hopefully not just sparked a movement over there, but people are marching here, people are marching all over the world. Like, if you look at maps at where protests are happening, it's one of the biggest, yeah, like, movements of our time.
And what
kind of
a ridiculous thing to say anyway. Like, we give charities to companies abroad. What, we're going to ignore them because they're not in our country?
Yeah.
It's a basic human right. We are all humans, no matter what country we live in. Mm-hmm. We're fighting for each other. That's all it's about.
Yeah. God, it's just been like, yeah, it's just a wake-up call. The amount of stress I think everyone's feeling from it, who are white or people of colour, who don't have to deal with this every day of their lives. I think it's a huge wake-up call that to see just how
effective it can be to you as somebody who isn't a person of colour. I think how much deeper that can go, how much more it can affect you. It's a huge, huge, huge wake-up call.
Then can you just imagine to not have people care? It's just beyond... Oh, okay. Oh, I just feel like we could talk about this for hours, but it gets to me, it makes me sad.
And the thing is as well, if this is a whole, What happened the other day? So I uploaded a video on YouTube and I've done like a few videos this week where all the AdSense and what's it called?
The affiliate links and AdSense,
is going to different charities and organisations and all that kind of stuff to help. And somebody put in the comments, I was like, just wondering if, you know, the affiliate links and AdSense is going to, you know, Black Lives Matter. And I was like, because I hashtagged it. I was like, because I forgot to say, but here's the thing now. Every video that everyone's going to watch of mine, a piece of that is going to go to different organisations. It's not just a trend, and I'm not always going to be saying it in the beginning of every video, but we do need to realise that as much as things trend online all the time, this isn't a trend. This is
this is something
everyday for the rest of our lives thing.
Yeah. Well, it's literally the least we can do. Like, literally the least we can do right now. So, I don't know. It's tough.
It is tough. So,
Let's get into today's
topic.
What is today's topic? Robert, take it away.
So, today's topic is something that I find... Well, I don't find. I see it a lot on social media, especially within the makeup kind of influencer industry, let's say. And it obviously does happen in other, like, fashion industry, everything like this, and especially so much more within in the art community. But copying and crediting and plagiarism.
Plagiarism. We couldn't remember that word before we recorded this. I can't remember what other words we came up with.
You were like, it sounds like a disease, but it isn't.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah. Plagiarism.
So what kind of set this off as an idea was we did a podcast. We won't go into details. An episode a few back, I think now.
It might be the last one, actually.
Was it the last one?
I can't remember.
And... after that was recorded
and I posted, came across, like a week later.
A week later, I came across a video that was a similar topic to our podcast. Then me and James both watched it and compared it to our podcast, and some of the exact sentences we say, including, like, what's it called? Not ad-libbing, but, you know, we're like, remember this. was also said in that video.
Yeah.
Word for word, sentence by sentence.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, fine. The information we gave in that podcast isn't new information, but, and nothing is. Nothing is really new information that much, unless you're learning. And we were just a little bit like, okay, does this count as...
plagiarism.
Plagiarism. Should we be credited or... not. So here's the thing. Go on. Sorry, James.
So I was just going to say, I don't know whether this is getting into it too quick, but as you said, none of it's new information whatsoever. I get my information from some amazing people that I follow online, like articles that I read, you know, a whole different wealth of, not incomings, you know, like, what's the word?
Sources.
Resources. Oh, God. But the difference is how you re...
Yeah.
Give that information, how you put that information back out.
How you make it your own.
Yeah, and I think if you watch my YouTube channel, there's people on there that have more credits than me, do you know what I mean, on my own channel, mm-hmm. as far as the information goes. I think it's, if you're not, if that information isn't yours, I think it's important to say your sources so people then go read it themselves, because you may not have got the 100% right end of the stick, but also if people want to know more about it, send them to the source and they can read more about it.
Absolutely.
The difference here was... we recognize those sentences as our own personality.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. We were like, hang on a second, I said that exact thing. And I think that's where, like...
Even the way it was said, and even the, like, sometimes sentences were a bit more rushed, and sometimes they were a little bit slower. Mm. You know, like, in the same kind of way we did. It was almost like word for word. Mm. You know?
It was very strange. Odd. Very strange.
Yeah. So here's something as well. I get a lot of... So I do these videos where I, like, react to TikTok makeup hacks or Instagram makeup hacks.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time I get tagged in videos and it's like, oh, Robert, they're using your concealer technique. Or they're like, oh, I see you using at the creator Robert Welsh's concealer technique. You should credit him. So my concealer technique, and I'm doing air quotes, is a technique that I've learned from... other makeup artists. Everything I've learned is from different makeup artists I've learned through 12 years of experience and doing this job. So nothing to me that I do, I feel like needs to be credited. So that concealer technique isn't my technique. I was trained in a very classic way when it comes to makeup. And now, you know, Instagram makeup kind of took over. And then people are kind of going back to like a little bit more classic techniques. Mm. So when people see this, they're like, oh, but that's what Robert talks about. But that's because I'm way back in that timeline. It's actually a pre-existing technique that a lot of people have spoke about before me. So I said in a video recently, I was like, I don't need to be credited for it. And you don't need to be like, oh, that's Robert's technique. That's that. Mm. So that's where I don't think you need crediting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like something like... that is common, it's common shared information, you know, it's not like, I mean, if I literally writ Robert under my eye, and then, you know, with concealer, then obviously, and then somebody else did it, then I'll be like, oh, that's Robert's Robert under eye technique.
That's Robert under eye,
But if you're just doing like, excuse me, it's like someone curling their hair with a curling iron, and then somebody doing it with a hairdryer, and then somebody being like, but they curl their hair with a hairdryer. That's their technique. You know, it's a common technique that a lot of people use. We just haven't seen it for a long time.
You're just bringing it back to the forefront.
Yeah.
That's the difference is you, I guess you can say if people are crediting you and people recognize that for you, then you've popularized it. You know, it's not something you've invented. I mean, even if you want to give yourself even that much credit as far as you popularized it, you know. But I think this is a common thing within makeup YouTube realm. I mean, for example, James Charles is constantly put on blast for copying YouTubers' looks or copying this artist's looks and putting it on his face kind of thing. But there are a few times when you look at the stuff that he's done, it's like, oh yeah, I see that. But then there's a few times that you see stuff that he's done, it's like, well, that's kind of like a generic idea, like that's been done before.
Here's the thing with makeup is you can look at something and see a pattern of color, or you can see a structure of shape and be like, that looks so familiar, this person did it. But it doesn't take much imagination to remake something that someone else has done. You have a choice of colors, you have a choice of shape, you have an eye, you know. So there's a makeup artist called Jamie French, who's an incredible makeup artist. She has a YouTube channel. She does some really funny videos and some, you know, like nice videos. She's great at makeup. One of the first videos I saw of hers was she did a YouTube video, and it was like what a tutorial would have been like if it was the 90s.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
One. So she did something recently called, it was like the mini face challenge, where you basically draw a tiny face on your face and you pull your, what's it called, collar all the way up. People were out, like it made news. They were outraged that she had copied this, I'm air quoting, from Alexis Stone, who is that transformation kind of makeup artist.
Yeah, Alexis Stone did it.
Yeah, a few times. But here's the thing though, Jamie French then provided on her Twitter many other times that other people had done it before this occasion. But people were sending her nasty messages saying, you need to credit people, you need to credit this person, you need to credit this. People get very angry about it and very, like, defensive because their favourite creator wasn't credited for something that they didn't even create.
Yeah, you know? In the first place, yeah.
So, I mean, when it comes to that, do you think maybe, how do you credit someone if you, that person you got the idea from, or not even got the idea from, wasn't the first person to do it, but is the most recent?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I think you just credit wherever you saw it from, because then it's up to the other people to go back and trace the source, I guess. Like, if I read about anything, like, usually it's from someone like The Eco Well, which is one of my favorite podcasts and websites, so I'll be like, oh, I read about this on the Eco Well, but obviously the Eco Well isn't the only source that you can find that of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's my trusted source and where I've read it from, kind of thing. So I think as long as you've credited who you found it from, then that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think you can't, as long as you're not sitting there going, this is 100% my idea that I've just come up with just right now.
I'm doing this because I just dreamt about it.
Yeah. Like making like some crazy excuse as to how you came up with it. I think it's absolutely fine. Like, there have been times when I've been sent videos of other skincare YouTubers. It's like, they copied your idea. And I'll give you an example. For I did a video where I didn't use skincare for a week. I didn't wash my face. I didn't do anything. That wasn't an original idea. It's called the cave.
Oh,
it's like the caveman something or other.
Yeah, people do it with their hair, don't they?
Yeah, people do it with their hair. I've seen a few videos of it. I said in the video, like, I've seen people do this. Like, I'm going to do it, kind of thing. And then Hiram, who's another skincare YouTuber, did it, not knowing that I did it. And people are like, James did this. And it's like, yeah, I did, but so did loads of others.
Yeah, so did everyone else.
So did everyone else. Like, it's not stealing because it's not an original concept. And I think that's something that you're going to find, especially on YouTube and social media, is that pretty much everything is a trend. Whether it's viral, it's completely different. But you follow people because you want to see their take on a particular trend. So I think that's where, like, you don't have to go crazy in the sense, like, I saw this video from this person, but they've done it from this person who saw it
and
originally
from
them.
That person. Yeah. That's the thing as well. When something becomes, like, a challenge. Do you remember there was that Bratz challenge when people made themselves look like Bratz dolls with makeup? And now this tiny face challenge has become a challenge. You can't track down every single person that's done it to its original source. It's like trying to find the first person who ever sang, you know?
Oh,
it's
God,
like, how
imagine.
Far can you go back? Who was the first person to make a noise that sounded like singing?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be expected. So you've seen someone else do it, and then you see somebody else do it. You can't then think in your mind, oh, that person must have seen the same person I saw do it, so they have to credit that person. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, you know, it's I just don't understand it.
It comes with the best intentions, you know. People are like, you should credit so-and-so. It's like, but it's not an original idea.
This happened to me recently as well. So I on my channel on Mondays, I do ghost stories and do like my makeup. I have my subscribers sending their ghost stories, things like that. I got that idea from Bailey Sarian, who does Murder Mystery and Makeup Monday, where she does true crime and she does her makeup. I credit her in every description box, and I also credit her in my videos when I remember to do it, but I always credit her all the time. This idea is based on, you know, when you like watch a TV series, like, based on the books by... I do that in my description box all the time. It's based on this series by Bailey Sarian. And somebody was like, you should really credit this person. I can't remember her name now. It was something like Funky something.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, why? And like, oh, because she reads ghost stories and does her makeup. I was like, okay, never seen her, ever. But the first time I did it, I was like, oh, she also does videos like this. But I didn't know she existed. I had no idea. And actually, when I said that, I messaged you and I was like, do you think it's weird for me to read ghost stories before I ever did it and do my makeup? And you're like, oh, I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So it isn't like, it isn't like it's you know,
it's not an outlandish concept.
Yeah.
Especially when we watch people who do true crime and do their makeup, Bailey Sarian. But there are other people that do it as well. And it's not like that anyone's stealing anyone's idea. It's just a concept that everyone does, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not, so to take something you like and merge it with something else that you like that you're known for doing online isn't a crazy original concept. So
exactly.
The fact that we're into the same stuff, the fact that I was going to do it, but then you wanted to do it as well, isn't surprising. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's exactly.
Can you imagine if I was like, yeah, but you have to... Every Credit time me. You do a video, say, I was going to do it, yeah.
Exactly.
It just doesn't, like...
That's the thing. Yeah. Although my idea is... Although what I do, I don't know if this person actually still does it, is the same as someone else. I've never seen that person, and I never got the idea from that person. Mm. I got the idea from Bailey Sarian, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I openly mention that every single time. Mm. So that's when I give credit, because literally I took her actual literal idea. Mm. And I was like, okay, but I'm going to do ghost stories. And that's where I think you should credit, if that makes sense. But then I'm not going to credit every time I see someone else do it, I'm not going to then credit them.
Add them to the credit list.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It'll be a really long, long list. So that's, you know, it's not... And it sounds really horrible, but there's people that do it better. Bailey Sarian is obviously like the queen of true crime and makeup. So she's made that her thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I haven't seen anyone else do it because they haven't done it as well. You know?
Yeah.
They haven't done it as good. So I'm not, you can't expect to credit every single person who does every single thing.
Mm.
Especially when they're not as popular at it. But that's when it kind of gets a little bit... dangerous, because there's this whole thing at the moment, and especially with bigger creators taking things from smaller creators, and especially smaller black creators as well, and influencers.
Which we've seen a lot of examples
of. And that's when it gets a little bit like, so that person gets a credit because they have more followers or they have more subscribers. Who does it? Nikki Tutorials is really good at this. She credits a lot of smaller creators when she literally gets an idea, she sees a picture, and then she credits them. And I don't think, do you think some people, it's almost like they're ashamed of being inspired by someone else, that they haven't come up with an idea themselves, and they're like, but you know, everyone will hate me if they don't think I came up with this idea. It's okay to be inspired by people.
Like reaction channels. Like it's fine to jump on something that's popular. Do you know, like if you can do it well, why not? Do you know what I mean? Like, and if people are interested in hearing your point of view, why not? Like, no one should be like, I think that's the biggest example of not plagiarism, but being like, I'm using someone else's content in my work kind of thing. Do you know, I think I see it as like, unless you say like it's a really original concept and you're doing makeup whilst...
hanging up off my roof.
Yeah, well, your dog does it also.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And then telling stories backwards and someone else does it. I think it has to be very, very niche. And as we say, everything's been done before. Can I share some examples of you of popular plagiarism?
Yes,
things that have happened in the YouTube realm, to be very particular. So we love our countdown, kind of like scary countdown things, don't we? And one of the guys who's known for not just scary countdowns in general, but countdown lists, is Matthew Santoro. I don't know if you remember Matthew Santoro. So he actually came under fire because other creators who did like these list kind of concepts, another example of something that's not original, like top fives, countdowns, and all that kind of stuff, he got caught stealing, well, plagiarizing content word for word from a website called Listverse. So he was actually taking these lists and then just retelling them on his website.
Oh my god.
On his website, on his YouTube channel. There's also a website called Koreaboo, which the name is, you know, troublesome itself, but it's a K-pop dedicated website that's kind of targeted at like Westerners who love K-pop. Yeah. And they are known for taking K-pop YouTubers' content and turning it into an article and not crediting them at all for it. So literally stealing their work, their countdowns, their lists, you know, like I think one example is top five songs that we've all forgotten about. Do you know what I mean? Like and they would take them and then say it word from word from like the YouTuber. Like they downloaded the subtitles and then put it into an article kind of thing. We talked about James Charles earlier. He's come under fire for not only copying trends but also palette designs, like the looks of palettes. But then that's what I was gonna ask you about. This whole rainbow palette thing.
Oh my
Everyone
God.
Has a rainbow palette. No.
Here's the thing. I think it depends on how you see it. I recently did a review of the J. Kizza and Elf collection.
Yeah.
And the palette is a rainbow, air quotes, rainbow palette. Here's the thing. Colours have always existed.
Oh.
And they've always existed in that...
order.
In that order.
Yeah.
It's a colour wheel. It's colour theory. So whenever... And as well, I reviewed a palette which was from Viseart, which is an amazing brand. And to me, it's a colour theory palette because it has all these colours, more than rainbow, you know. And someone's like, oh, great, another rainbow palette. I was like, no, it's not a rainbow. It's a colour palette. It is an artistic colour palette. So when you have a rainbow palette, it's like, so you want me to create a palette with colours in, all the colours available, and you don't want me to put them in colour order.
Yeah.
Because that's what a rainbow palette is. Rainbow palettes, these rainbow palettes that people are saying are rainbow palettes, too many air quotes, aren't in order of a rainbow. They're in order of colour. You know?
Yeah.
Like colour spectrum or whatever.
Which you see in the rainbow because of
which
science.
Which you see everywhere. It's like saying, I'm going to put all these colours together, but I just won't put them in order just in case I'm copying someone. Like here, like this new palette from Beauty Bay, not an advert, someone would be like, oh my God, a rainbow palette.
Oh my God.
Whereas actually it's just a line of purple, a line of blue, a line of green, a line of red. It's not a rainbow palette. It is a colour palette. You can't, and that's like saying, like, you can't invent a neutral palette and it'd be like, oh my God, that's a copy of that other neutral palette.
Yeah.
Because they're all like tones of grey and brown and black and white. Like it's not copying. It's colour. It's putting colour in order.
Yeah.
It's an art thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous. Are you done telling us off now?
Sorry, I'm done shouting at everyone. Dare you. Stop calling things rainbow palettes. All right.
Tell me what else we can talk about.
Okay, so let's talk about reaction videos.
Yeah.
Wait, let me just try and remember what I was going to say. Yes. So I do a lot of reaction videos, and that's actually how my YouTube channel kind of kicked off a little bit. I do, as many people think I'm mean, which I'm not, they just look at my thumbnail. I react to videos and give constructive criticism about the makeup, not the person. Do you feel like... Oh, and I've seen people reacting to my videos, and I've seen people recreating looks from my videos. Mm-hmm. So do you think by putting your content on the internet...
Nintendo?
Tenet. Yes. You are asking for... Or almost like you're putting your content out there to be freely used.
No, because YouTube comes with copyright. Every video you upload comes with copyright. But the reason you can use it in reaction videos is because it's fair use. So as long as you're doing something constructive with it and making new, fresh content out of that old content, if that makes sense. So rather than just doing a main upload, as long as you're creating something new, that's like fine, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think to say, like, for example, my videos get pulled off the internet and used in like cheap vitamin C adverts and moisturizer. That's where it's not... okay, like, I'm not uploading my videos so that they can be stolen for some AliExpress skincare, you know?
Exactly.
So no, I don't think you are, because these websites do come with their own copyright stuff. But as far as ideas go, yes, I think you're putting them out there for people to be inspired by. Like, nothing I do is original. Mm-hmm. Like, how many other people... Like, what's my most recent video? Skincare trends that need to die with a sick face emoji. Like, that's a trend that people do every year. Like, you know, skincare trends that need to die in 2012.
Skincare trends I'm not doing next year.
Yeah. So I think if you're putting something out there that is truly, truly original...
I'm going to make a note of that for a video idea.
What's that?
I'm just going to make a note of that for one of my video ideas.
Why don't you just look at my channel and see what I've done before?
I don't look at your channel.
Okay. You've done a video like that already, haven't you?
I did makeup it ages trends. Ago.
Mm.
Ages
redo it. Ago. See, this is a thing as well. I don't know how much Marcus would cut out of that one, but I'm repeating videos, not because, like... I've got nothing else to post, kind of, but it's a new take on that video. It's a fresher take. Yeah. So I think, like, I think as long, if you do have a truly, truly original idea that you upload or you post, people are going to take it. People are going to credit you. People are not going to take it. It's just the way the internet is.
Internet.
But I don't think you should always put it up thinking, oh, it's fine to copy, you know, but people are going to do it because they're dicks.
Yeah, everyone take a piece of this. Yeah. Here's where it gets a little bit bad as well. So, for example, the girl who did our artwork for our, what's this called? Podcast. I recently saw on her Instagram stories that her designs were taken and put on AliExpress. And here's where it gets a little bit... I feel like the art world, like physically somebody painting and creating or making something on the computer in form of art, that's where it gets too far. Like you're literally creating someone's concept that they've got from scratch and then taking that and putting it onto something else. That's on where a t-shirt. I think that, yeah, on a t-shirt, that's where I'm literally like, okay, no. You know,
but oh, yeah, that's
way too far. In terms of like a YouTube video, I think, you know, I feel like you can't be too harsh on someone for taking an idea, if that makes sense. Like I would never be offended by it.
Yeah. But when I guess you can see it as like your original art piece, but I think unless again it's truly original and, you know, there's something about it that has never been done before, which is next to impossible nowadays. Yeah, like you said, you can't be angry about it. Like, what are you going to do?
Yes, the thing as well, people have been doing makeup for millions of years. Literally millions.
Yeah.
So, what's the difference then between a trending... Let's say, right, I start this trend, I'm in my room. I don't have to be in my room, I could be anywhere.
You could be anywhere.
I could be anywhere. And I take a... I'm trying to think of something really random that no one would have done before. I take a sheet of metal and I wrap it around my head and stick some false lashes on the outside. I'm like, this is my round metal head look.
Terrible. So, terrible. Never going to take off.
I mean, it's for the future. I'm
futuristic.
Too early.
Ahead of your time.
I'm too ahead of my time. And then suddenly thousands of people have done it. Where has that become a trend and where has that become someone copying me? Do you know what I mean? Because somebody must have copied me for it to become a trend.
Yeah, but someone must have been like, I've seen Robert wrap this metal around his face and put lashes on it. And I want to show you my version and my take. And do you know what I mean? I do think the YouTube community are quite good at giving credit where credit is due as far as that takes off. But then obviously the more people that are inspired by that trend, there's going to be a point where people haven't seen yours originally.
The original. Yeah.
But hopefully people are crediting the original person, so everyone could always see who the original person is, but it just don't work like that. So I think obviously for something to become a trend, a mass amount of people have to be doing it, you know. Like if it's like one person that's done it and hasn't mentioned you at all, that's copying. But I think if someone was to do that and then say like, I'm recreating Robert's look or doing this, it's more of a flattering thing, isn't it? Because it's but I think I think if they've not said anything about it and they pretended that this amazing trend idea you've come up with is their own idea, then that's obviously copying. But then going back
so
to like
how people have copied me. I feel like it's been someone.
You should do this with foil. I think it'll look really good. Post a picture on your Instagram and no one will know what the fuck's going on unless they listen to this. But going back to the originally why we started it, we said, all our information is information you've picked up through your years of being a makeup artist. All my information is through the years of reading other people's information and like studies and from professionals. So none of it's my own. None of the information is your own. It's stuff we've learned. But we put our original take on it.
Yeah.
And I think like... it's kind of filtered down from a lot of people. So I think it's different. If I was to sit there and quote every source I've got this information from, we'd be here forever kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And we put our own spin on it. But the reason we felt like that video was copying is because it was our exact words, our exact stresses, our exact mannerisms, not humor, because we weren't trying to be funny, but it's the exact way we present our information.
Yeah.
So I think that's when it comes to copying, because there wasn't even a mention of where that information had come from.
Like, I listened to this and got this idea. And the thing about what they were doing in this video as well is it was like listening to us two talk to each other, but in one person, talking to themselves.
And the video wasn't an original idea. Like, our podcast wasn't an original idea. And so I've talked about my channel before, and countless other people have as well. But as you say, it wasn't a personal spin on their video. It was our take on the information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was shocked.
We couldn't sleep. We... all night.
I lost sleep for weeks. I just want to go through our messages and talk about some people's experiences. We lost the thing because obviously it's been a week. We do need to, we really need to get better at this, don't we?
I know. Okay.
So we got a message on our podcast page from someone called Jay Hicks. And she says, not strictly my work. I modeled for NARS Training Day and had images from it and shared on why do I bother to read
No, you're doing really well.
Okay, let me start again. So, not strictly my work, and I even said that wrong, strictly my work. I modeled for a NARS training day and had images from it and shared it on Instagram. So for anyone who hasn't been on like a makeup training day, you basically all go and to training, and sometimes like your trainers would do like makeup on a model and then you have to redo it on each other, that kind of thing. Supposedly a beauty brand took it and reshared it on their feed without proper credits, make it look like they're the ones who created the image when it was a curator account. My hubby gets his work stolen all the time. He's a photographer, takes great images stolen by nightclubs to produce one-night events and etc. Hard to track down and sue as it's so fast churning. Also work used to be used on phone cases on AliExpress being sold.
Ugh.
A bit numb to these now, seeing nothing can be done, really. IP laws and everything. I got blocked by a nightclub once for calling them out, but they didn't block the actual photographer and the model we worked with.
This is the problem. So that's like my videos, like they get taken and used by countless brands.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more of a representation of the company, obviously. Like, why would you trust a company or a nightclub or a makeup page that can't create their own content, that don't have their own content to post?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't then trust, you just have to think how everything else is done. It's illegal. Taking someone's work is illegal. It's just very, very difficult to get it illegaled on.
Exactly. You know? So, talking about things like that. So, she was saying how people use her images and stuff like that. I worked for a salon a while ago, ages ago, actually. They still have my work up on their page.
Do they?
And this is all makeup that I did myself, basically. And the girl who's just their one makeup artist for them could never. That to me is like a false advertisement, where you're showing an image of something that can't be used, but they're my images. I'm looking at them now. They're still on there. That's so rude.
I think because it works in salons as well, is that obviously when you create a campaign around your salon, it's a representation of what could be done in that salon. So obviously people have actually worked that are working there and can do that for you. Obviously, as you know, you have like your creative heads, don't you? So they're usually the ones that will go and do the work. But they work in that salon. So I think to have work from someone that doesn't even work there,
it's really strange. That's like she said as well, people in nightclubs, I always wonder where they get those pictures from.
Yeah.
And they must just Google, women dancing, you know?
Dude, or... it's £10 a month for a Shutterstock membership, you know?
It is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's finish this off, but just finish this little bit by me asking you, James, are you offended that this person took our personalised, what's it called?
Very, very good question. I'm not offended. I'm just annoyed and I feel a bit sorry for them, because I know how difficult it is to create content.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're obviously not able to create their own, in a sense that not only do they have to Because everyone takes ideas from everyone. Like, mm-hmm. as I said on YouTube, you want to see different people's takes on something that you enjoy. Yeah. But the fact that they couldn't even bring their own personality into it and had to bring someone else's exact words is a little bit like, oh, okay. But then it's also the fact that this person doesn't usually talk about what they talked about.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it popped up the same week that we talked about it.
Right.
It was a bit like... Okay, so it's not annoying. I just feel a bit like what are you doing? Like, it's like what we're saying about those brands that steal people's content to use as their own imagery and videos.
Yeah,
it's a bit like, why can't you? I don't trust you enough that you're not doing this in other places, you know?
Yeah, very true.
How about you? Robert, I have a question for you. Do you feel annoyed or sad that someone's plagiarismed? Supposedly our thing.
Well, what a good question, James.
Thank you.
I'm not annoyed. No. And I'm not saddened.
No.
I don't care. I really don't care. I think there's enough information out there for everyone that, like we said earlier, nothing is new information. And like you said, it's kind of a pity thing. Like, I feel a little bit sorry for them that their personality may be a little bit dry, that they can't make it their own.
Wait, we have dry personalities.
Oh, what's dry? I mean, dry in the sense of, like, you know, like a... Like
there's
a
nothing cracker. There.
Like a Ryovita.
Like a Ryovita thin.
So, I mean, I'm not pissed. I'm not like... It was just a little bit of like a, oh,
that's weird. It was just weird to hear our voices coming through someone else.
It was weird. That's all it was. That's all it was.
Yeah. It's just a good conversation piece, I think, to have, because obviously being like creatives, it's hard from a photography background, from a makeup and having like working on brands and stuff.
Yeah.
Brands, campaigns, it's such it's something that's very ripe within that community as far as actually using people's work as your own imagery, but then also something that's very, very difficult to claim as your own.
And that's the thing as well, like coming up for concepts of like shoots and things like that. There's periods of time where trends are trends. So is it a trend or is it copying? You know, like it was a period of time where a glossy eye was a trend, a black glossy eye and a dark purple lip. And that's a trend now again. Like, is it a trend or are you copying every single person? Do you know, it's like trends are trends. Copying is copying.
Yeah.
Ryovitas are dry.
Like, they are.
There's no in between.
I think the moral of the story is that I think when it comes to creating content, moral of the story, like it's, our podcast is that deep, is that nothing's original.
Yeah.
Like you expect people to have the same kind of video ideas, because even if they have or haven't seen your video, someone else has done it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think the most important thing is to put your own spin on stuff and speak from your own knowledge rather than just flat out copying somebody else.
Yeah. Unless you're an artist.
Unless you're an artist, then go for it.
Go for it. Copy everyone out
there. Yeah, copy. Make those collages of other people's work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Put other people's work on a mouse pad. No, don't do that. Let's finish today with how we usually start our podcast. James, has there anything?
Yes, for thank you so much. Do you know what I really, really like? And you got sent this, because we both got sent this. This is Gift Dad.
Oh, yeah.
The Sunday Riley Eye Ceramide Moisturizing Creme.
Right, yeah.
It's so good. So obviously it's ceramides, and ceramides are essentially like the... mortar to the brick and mortar of our skin, so it kind of like fills in all those gaps. It stops our skin when our skin's been irritated. If you've been out in the sun for too long, it's drying out, and you're missing those essential ceramides in your skin. It's kind of like putting the building blocks of your skin back together, so being able to give our skin that kind of rejuvenation is really, really nice. What I like about it is it smells nice, but it's not overbearing. It's a very rich moisturizer without being thick and heavy and suffocating.
That's exactly why I really like it, because it looks like it's going to be a a thick, like, night cream. Yeah, but actually, like white Vaseline. It absorbs very quickly. Yeah, yeah, but it absorbs really, really quickly. I've been using that not knowing that's what... I just thought it was like a nice cream. You know, I didn't realise it has ceramide.
You can just read the PR package they sent us. They literally sent us a book that will never
read. I don't even read the front of packages. Like, what was I asking you about the other day? And you're like, oh, that's a retinol. I was like, oh.
Robert's been using an overnight retinol mask without knowing it was retinol. And I said, it's literally called retinol sleeping mask. And he was like, oh, I didn't read that. Read your packages.
It says, like, night mask. I'm like, oh, great, a night mask. And then I never look at the front of it again. I only look at it from the top.
From the top. Oh, can I just say another thing I've been really, really liking? And it's the SK2 Essence. It's like £100.
I love SK2.
I don't know what it is. It smells like someone else's spit, but it feels so good on the skin. It's got the worst smell. But there's just something about it that does for me work a lot better than other essences. Although you do not have to spend £100 on something like that. I didn't. I got it gifted.
But I would like to.
Yeah, you should.
I love SK2. That serum I had from him once was incredible.
Oh, beautiful. Robert, is there anything that you...
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, is there anything you've been loving? Are you wearing a Bob Ross t-shirt?
I am. It's from Hot Topic.
Oh, okay.
When I lived in Florida, it's my pajamas.
Oh, so years ago.
I'm still in my pajamas and it's midday. Yeah. And that's fine. So recently, two of my friends I saw used this product in their eyebrows from a brand called Pink Honey UK. And it's basically like a brow gel, but it's not a gel. It's like a very hard wax in these little tubs. And they do three different ones. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a go, see what it's all about. All the pictures on their page are very much not me. Like, it's very...
very glam.
Very, very glam. But the eyebrows look absolutely incredible. So I was like, okay, let me get this and try it. And basically, it's like you open this little jar. It looks like jam jars or preserves. And it has, like, a hole in the middle of this, like, block of wax. And you basically put, like, your little brow brush in there, spin it around.
Oh, that's a better way to do it.
Yeah, and then comb through the brows. This stuff, I was like, okay, ultimate test. Let me put this on at nighttime and sleep with my brows with this stuff in. And it stayed really... Of course, there's, like, one hair out of place, but every day you wouldn't be rolling around on your face.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Really, really amazing. It's an independent brand from the UK. And they're just amazing. It's an absolutely incredible, incredible, incredible product. And they do, like, three different versions. Like, they do one that's, like, really strong, and they do one which is more flexible and restyling, and then they do, like, a bit, like, basic one. But it's really, really good. It's such an amazing, amazing brow product. It's called Pink Honey. Pink Honey UK, I think it is. Yeah, on Instagram.
Cool.
Yeah, really beautiful.
Well, okay, that's it then.
All right, then. Well, that's that then.
That's that then. Done.
Well,
bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We will get better at asking these questions on Instagram because we keep forgetting.
We need to ask these questions. Ask if you mind us. I think the default should be we will use your name unless you ask otherwise.
Yes.
As far as questions go on Instagram. So we'll post about that on the Instagrams. But yes, thank you once again for joining us.
Yes. And we will see you next
week.
All right.
Bye.